Shalom. You're about to hear a message given by Rabbi Loren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.
Do something a little bit different. We don't have a Torah portion this Shabbat because it's in the middle of Passover. And I thought what I'd do this morning is focus our attention on the Hallel Psalms, Psalms 113 through 118. Before there was the Siddur, which is the Jewish prayer book, Israel had another prayer book. And that prayer book is called Tehillim, the book of Psalms. In this divinely inspired prayer book, there's a special section, Psalms 113 through 118, that focus on God's saving power. And these psalms are used during the Jewish holidays of Passover, Shavuot, Sukkot, Tabernacles, and Hanukkah. And we use these Hallel Psalms to praise God for various aspects of his great saving power. Now, we follow this Jewish tradition, and we use the Hallel Psalms a lot in our congregational prayers. We pray them during Passover in particular. And so this morning I thought I would focus our attention on Psalms 113 through 118. You have Bibles in front of you. Why don't you take a Bible and open it to Psalm 113, the first of these magnificent Hallel Psalms. Psalm 113 praises God for being so great, yet he is concerned about humanity. He's concerned about helping even the lowliest, most pathetic human being. It starts off, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants, praise the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord means the Lord himself. So when it says praise the name of the Lord, it means praise the Lord, praise God. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The psalm starts off with praise the Lord, which in Hebrew is hallelujah, which is a command. Praising the Lord is a command. It's something that we should be doing. Now, to praise the Lord, we don't say, praise the Lord. A lot of Christians think that praising the Lord means saying, praise the Lord. Praising the Lord means saying nice things about God. That's what praising someone, anyone involves, saying something nice about them. Praising the Lord means saying nice things about who the Lord is, and what he has done, is doing, and will do. So this is a command. Praise the Lord. Who needs to praise him? Everyone. But particularly those who serve him. Praise the Lord, you, his servants. That's an important part of our responsibilities, is to honor the Creator by speaking well about him. When should those who serve the Lord declare these truths about who God is and what he has done, is doing, and will do? Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. Because the Lord is eternal, and he will give his servants eternal life, the Lord's servants should praise him now and forever and ever and ever. Where should the Creator be praised? Everywhere. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. There is no place where our great God should not be extolled. And if you're in a place where you cannot praise him, maybe you shouldn't be in that place. Why should the Lord be lauded? Because he is greater than all of humanity and the entire universe put together. The Lord is exalted over all the nations. His glory is above the heavens. This supreme ruler is greater than everyone and everything in this universe. Like a man who has to bend over to look at a pebble at his feet, the Lord has to stoop down to look at the universe with its billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of stars and planets. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, this great majestic king who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? Why should the Lord be praised? Because even though he is so much greater than us, infinitely greater than us, yet he knows us intimately, personally. He loves us. He is concerned about humanity. He wants to help even the poorest and lowliest among us. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Shouldn't the God who is so great, yet concerned about helping the lowliest human being, raising them up, elevating them, shouldn't that God be praised? And so the psalm concludes with, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Psalm 114 praises God for being so great that he can rescue a nation enslaved to the most powerful nation on earth, part a sea, part a river, and miraculously provide water from a rock for millions of people and their animals. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. In other words, God got very involved with the chosen people during our exodus from Egypt. He got very close to us. He took control of us. It shouldn't surprise us that when the Creator did get close to us and took control of us, creation responded in unusual ways to the presence of the Creator. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? The Red Sea parted before the people that God was close to. Mount Sinai was shaken when the presence of the Almighty descended on it. The Jordan River parted before the Jewish people. Don't you want this same God close to you, taking control of you, like he did for the Jewish people? Imagine what might happen to your Red Seas, to your Jordan Rivers. The lesson to be learned, all of the inhabitants of this planet should treat the Creator with fear, with reverence, with respect. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, of water, the hard rock into springs of water. Don't you want this same supreme being who is able to free a nation of slaves from their more powerful oppressors, part a sea, part a river, shake the mountains, and miraculously meet the physical needs of millions of people, don't you want this same supreme being close to you, controlling you, meeting your needs? You got to be crazy not to. If so, transfer your loyalties to this living God and obey him. Psalm 115 praises God that salvation comes only from the true God, the living God, the God of Israel, not from the false gods of other religions. This psalm describes a situation in which the Jewish people were being threatened by enemies. The people prayed that the Lord would save us from our enemies, not just for our benefit, of course it would benefit us, but because by saving us, he would be honored. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To you, you get the glory, God, because of your love, because of your faithfulness. By saving us from our enemies, God's love, God's faithfulness, his reliability would be revealed to more human beings, and the Lord would be honored. And when the Lord is honored among human beings, that is a good and right and appropriate thing. Our enemies might taunt us, claiming that our invisible God wasn't real. Our invisible God couldn't help us. After all, everyone knew that real God should be visible and tangible and made from the most precious materials. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" It's true, the God of Israel may be invisible to human beings, but that doesn't mean he isn't real. He is real. He's powerful. And he is in control of all things, and his sovereign will rules over all. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him in his time and in his way and to accomplish his purposes. So it's wise to make sure that you are lined up with his sovereign purposes. The reality is that it was the false gods of our enemies who were powerless. But their gods are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but can't speak, eyes but can't see. They have ears but can't hear, noses but can't smell. They have hands but can't feel, feet but can't walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. My friends, contrary to what the world says, I'm telling you that it is very important what you believe and what you don't believe. Not all opinions are equally valid. Not all gods are the same. Not all religions are the same. Baal is not the same as Adonai. One is the real creator God, one isn't. One saves human beings from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death. One doesn't. And since it's a principle that we become like our God, those who make them will be like them, so will all who trust in them. If our God is cruel and capricious and foolish, we will become cruel and capricious and foolish. If our God is faithful and kind, we will become more faithful and more kind. If our God is real and lives forever, then we will live forever. But if our God is false and temporary, then we will perish. Those who make these false gods will be like them. So will all who trust in them. No matter who you are, don't place your faith, your confidence, your trust in anyone other than the true and living God. Don't give your loyalty to anyone other than the God of Israel. So the psalm continues, all you Israelis, trust in the Lord, because he is their help, their shield, their protector in a dangerous world. House of Aaron, the priests, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The chosen nation of Israel and the priests within Israel who brought Israel closer to God and brought God closer to Israel, and even the Gentiles, those who fear the Lord, who have come to know Israel's God, should give their loyalty to God and no other deity. If they do, he will remember them, help them, protect them, do good things for them. To those who are considered the least important, to those who are considered the most important, the Lord remembers us. The Lord will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. And the one who created this vast universe, who has so much wisdom and power and love for those who know him and are loyal to him, he will not only remember those who are loyal to them, to him, and treat them in a special way and help them and do good things for them, but he's inclined to extend those same blessings to their children. And so the psalm continues, may the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by Adonai, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God is real. He is in control of the universe. He's ruling over it according to his will. But he allows human beings who are made in his image to govern this special planet. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. What a tremendous gift. But we want to use this gift wisely. We want to use the free will that the Lord has given us to rule this planet, not to defy him, not to go against his wishes, not to serve false gods, false religions, false ideologies, false philosophies, not to advance the demonic human alliance and rebellion against him, but rather to honor him and follow his wise principles. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. Israel may have enemies intent on destroying us and suppressing our religion, but if the Lord saves us from them and we are alive, let's praise him. Let's say nice things about him and about what he has done, is doing, and will do. It's not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Prior to the coming of Messiah, the dead, both the righteous dead and the unrighteous dead, went to Sheol when they died. Hades, Sheol, which is characterized as a place of silence. The good news is that those who are loyal to the true God, no matter if they die, will live again and praise him forever. That's a God worth celebrating, isn't it? And so the psalm concludes, hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Psalm 116 praises God because he is able to save us from the most desperate circumstances. And life in this world can get desperate at times. We live in a very dangerous world. It is a tremendous thing to have a powerful ally we can go to for help in times of crisis. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. It's proper, it's right, it's appropriate, it's expected to give our affections and devotions to a God who hears and answers our requests for help. And in a fallen world like the one we live in, which is dangerous, some dangers may be really severe and life-threatening. And we may need divine intervention to escape from some of those dangers that we just can't handle on our own. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. And very often, the Lord will graciously respond to our requests for divine intervention. And he will help us. And we can once again be at peace. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. So return to your rest, O my soul, because the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. When you are under attack and in danger, it's better to trust in the Lord and remain faithful to him than to panic. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. When God does help you, you are obligated to tell others about this God who saves and helps and delivers and protects. You are to serve him unashamedly. You are to worship him unashamedly. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. Either a reference to the drink offering of wine that accompanied sacrifices, or a cup of wine that is simply lifted up to thank God for his help, sort of like a toast. Lord, I toast you. Thank you for helping me. Here's a cup to you, Lord. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The Lord is able to rescue us from the most desperate circumstances. Isn't that good to know? But he doesn't always do that. In spite of our prayers, saints are often taken from us. They're not delivered. They're not rescued. If God does not save someone, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care about that person or about us, or that their life doesn't matter to him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, his faithful servants. God does care, and the lives of those who serve him faithfully are precious to him in life and in death, and beyond death. Again, if the Lord does help one of his sons or daughters, we should thank him, we should worship him, we should serve him passionately, unashamedly, boldly. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. That's someone who is passionate and unashamed. That's what we need to be like. A God who loves us and is committed to helping us face life's dangers and will help us in our time of death is worthy of our praise, isn't he? And so this psalm concludes with hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 117 praises God that salvation was designed to flow from the chosen people to the other nations of the world. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. Why should the nations say nice things about God? Because he loves humanity a lot. And his reliable, faithful way of treating us will last forever. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. And all those from all the nations, Jews and Gentiles, who return his love and are faithful to this God who is faithful to us, will enjoy God's love and his faithfulness forever and ever and ever. And a day is coming when the whole world will turn from their false religions and philosophies and laud the true God. And so this psalm concludes with hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118 praises God for the ultimate salvation that comes to us through the Messiah, who is the Lord who has become our Yeshua, our salvation. The Messiah who is at the right hand of God and who is the right hand of God. The Messiah who is the gate that opens to righteousness. The Messiah who is the stone that the builders rejected. The Messiah who comes in the name of the Lord. The Jewish people and the priests and all God-fearers everywhere, no matter their national identity, should thank God because he is good. It's his nature to bless us, to want to do good things to us, to help us reach our maximum potential, to elevate us, to lift us up. God is good, and he loves us. He loves us now, and he will love us forever. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. God is eternal and will eternally love those human beings who respond to his love. Don't you want to be one of them? God expresses his love and his goodness by getting us out of trouble. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. Isn't that wonderful? Human beings, in contrast, even the most capable, aren't always reliable. They may help you, but they might not help you. They may ignore you. They may hurt you. They may let you down. They may betray you. not God. It is better to take refuge in Adonai than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So go with God, not people. Go with God, not the powerful. Go with God, not the majority. With God's help, you can overcome the most powerful forces, the most dangerous foes. All the nations surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, with God's help, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side. But in the name of the Lord, with God's help, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, with God's power and authority and presence, I cut them down. I was pushed back. I was about to fall, but the Lord helped me. Being in a right relationship with your Creator, knowing Him, getting close to Him, staying close to Him, enables Him to act powerfully for you. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my defense. The Lord has become my Yeshua, my salvation. A hint of God giving us ultimate Yeshua, ultimate help, by becoming incarnate in Yeshua Jesus. Again, being right with God and doing the right things unleashes the power of God to help us and bring us happiness and success and victory. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. And here's what they're saying. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Your right hand is usually your hand of greater strength. The Lord's right hand is a way of describing His powerful activity. Yeshua is at the right hand of God. And Yeshua is, in a sense, the right hand of God. God the Father uses Messiah the Son to accomplish powerful works of creation, of salvation, of sustaining the universe, of rulership over the universe. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. Don't you want God to act powerfully for you? You need to know His Yeshua. The divinely inspired poet knows that although he may suffer, he's going to survive this crisis. I will not die. I will live. And then I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me, disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Then he prays that God would enable him to go through gates, perhaps the temple gates, so that he will be able to get closer to God, who manifests His presence at the temple and gives victory to those who are close to Him and are in a right relationship with Him. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. God heard and answered the prayers for help from this righteous man, and so he thanks him. I will give you thanks because you answered me. God does help the righteous. He does bring them salvation. And through the incarnation, He literally becomes our ultimate help, our Yeshua, our Jesus. You have become my Yeshua, my salvation. God uses a stone that was rejected to bring salvation and stability to the righteous. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Israel may be the stone rejected by hostile enemy nations. The king of Israel might be the stone rejected by others. Regardless, God will make sure that the nation of Israel and the nation's king will accomplish his purposes. And ultimately, the Messiah, who is the greatest Israel, who represents Israel, who fulfills Israel, who is Israel's ultimate perfect king, he too is that stone rejected by the majority of the nation. But God will overrule that rejection and make Messiah into a cornerstone for a new and perfect and eternal universe. Success comes from the Lord getting lined up with his plans, knowing what he's doing, accepting the cornerstone. We need his help for ultimate victory and success. And so the psalmist prays, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. While others might reject those whom God has chosen, those Jewish people gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate, welcome the one that God has chosen to lead us. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. And the fulfillment of this blessing is the coming of the ultimate leader that God sent to rule over us and help us, the greatest king of Israel, Messiah, who perfectly represents God, who perfectly comes in the name of the Lord. And we must say, Baruch haba, Yeshua. We welcome you, Son of God, Son of David. We bless you if we are going to have victory and success. There's only one God, Adonai, the Lord. And he has revealed himself in this dark world by shining his light on the chosen people, giving us his truth, his wisdom, his way of victory and success and happiness. The Lord is God. And he has made his light shine on us. This great God who is able to help us in life circumstances and ultimately and eternally help us through the Messiah should be worshipped during the holidays he has given us. With bows in hand, join in the holiday procession up to the horns of the altar. Maybe this is one of the reasons why the rabbis have chosen this section to pray during the holidays. And this good and loving and eternal God should be praised by each individual who comes to know him. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love endures forever. And that's worth celebrating and praising. Amen? I love these psalms. Thank God for the Hallel Psalms 113 through 118, which he has given to enrich our understanding and to praise him for various aspects of his great salvation. Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to a message by Rabbi Lauren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, S-H-E-M-A.com.